It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, I cover them, I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, he is the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. He is a tight end for the POU football team. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Christian. How are you today?
I am doing quite well.
Another day, another dollar, as I would like to say.
Getting through our Wednesday. Wednesday's my busiest day. I don't know about you.
Tuesdays are usually my busiest day. They go from till I have, we have volunteering now at Lister Elementary, and that goes all the way till 10 with fun meetings for football.
Excellent. Excellent. I get here at 8:30 in theory. It didn't happen today because I forgot to get gas, so I had to get gas before I got on I-5 this morning, but I get here at 8:30 and then I leave, supposedly, again, in theory, after about 5:30. So it's a long one, but it's the only one that's like that. So we'll get through Wednesday. We got to ask our new co-host about his day. His name is Seth Bursing. Seth, how have you been? What's your day like today? What's your busiest day? Give us all the info we need to know.
I'm doing well, Christian. Thanks for asking. Wednesday is probably my busiest day.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the, obviously, the radio show in the morning.
Right.
And then a couple classes after that. And all I can say is parking is quite difficult sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No one in here, no one listening saw this, obviously. But Seth ran in here at literally 8:59 and 30 seconds screaming, "Parking is ridiculous," before he sat down in a huff and got ready for this radio show. So you need time to gather yourself, Seth, or are you ready to go?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
What did you guys do over the weekend?
Well, I actually had a game that we will talk about a little bit later in the show.
We certainly will.
But other than that, you know, just sat back, watched a lot of football, had my so-called lazy Sunday to where I wake up and just sit on the couch pretty much all day and watch professional football, which is always a fun time.
Right. Seth, what did you do over the weekend?
Well, it was actually my little brother and my mom's birthday the last couple days.
Nice.
So, and I got to play laser tag at my 13-year-old brother's laser tag party, which was quite fun.
You a big laser tag guy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Excellent. I had a slow weekend because almost all of our POU sports were gone, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't have to physically be a lot of places. I went to the football game and helped out with that. A lot of fun to watch. I also ended up doing some stuff for Root Sports on Thursday night at Tumwater and Steilacoom. So that was
a pretty
fun little deal. Thanks, guys. Yeah, you got a random phone call and they were like, "Hey, are you doing anything tonight?" And I was like, "No, not really."
Have you been connected to them before or no?
Nope, it was my first night. Steve Thomas, he does your football games, and he called me up and was like, "You doing anything?" And, "No." All right, well, someone needs you. So I went down and did some stuff for them, and it was actually a really cool experience. So.
Perfect. Steve's a great guy. He's got a great voice for football.
He's so good. Mm-hmm. He is so good. All right. I want to remind those of you who are tuned in right now that you can hear this show in podcast form on mastmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can hear this show and pretty much every other show we've done throughout our time on Laser. We want to hear from you throughout the entire show. You can do it by calling us at 253-535-7332. Anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about the Seahawks? You want to talk about the Mariners? You want to talk about the Huskies? You want to talk
you
about...
You just want to talk to us in general?
Yeah. We will talk to
anything.
You. Anything at all.
Dating advice, you know, anything.
We're here for you.
Heck, we even have a married man now in the room.
Yes, for sure. That's me. call us at 253-535-7332. All right, let's get this thing going. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks. They romped the Colts. What was the final
romped.
Score? 46-18 was that the final score,
yes.
correct?
Yes, 46-18.
So. It didn't look like it was going to end up being that way in the first half. They trailed going into halftime, did they not?
Mm-hmm.
So
18-15.
What changed, I guess? I mean, there's kind of obvious, but, you know, what was different?
For me, we kind of talked about this with our example of our game this past weekend. In the NFL, you have good players. Even if it's a bad team, like the Cleveland Browns, for example, or the Indianapolis Colts in this matter, there are bad teams, but the better teams, they play better for longer. Like, or they stay their course for longer. And like we saw, the Colts, you know, played a pretty much a flawless first half is what you have to do in CenturyLink. And they didn't turn the ball over at all in that first half. And once you saw Brissett make his first mistake in the second half, you saw that the Hawks started to pile on. And they just, you know, fed off that. The crowd fed off that energy. And it turned into a blowout. It's a couple highlights right here. I really want to highlight Russell Wilson. He went 21 for 26, 295 yards, two touchdowns. I thought, you know, he played a really, really good game. One thing that sucked about this game was the injuries. We have an injury to Cliff Averill that's going to put him out for a few weeks. I know we signed an extra defensive lineman on Monday. And obviously the one to Chris Carson broke his leg. He's going to be out for the season. But now, you know, we brought Eddie Lacy in. This is his chance to step up. He had 11 carries for 52 yards with an average of 4.7 yards per carry. That's a pretty dang good average if you can average over 4.5 yards per carry. Like, you can run him on first down and it be second and five, hit a little play action. That's going to open up the offense if Lacy can continue that. And I thought the offensive line, you know, just keep steadily improving, just a couple technique things here and there. And, you know, this offense is really looking up, and the defense is not going to give up however many points they did to the Titans ever again this season.
I don't know about that.
Let's hope not.
Seth, what did you think of the game against the Colts on Sunday?
I really don't know what to think. The Seahawks have always been a second-half team under Pete Carroll. They pretty regularly come out very slow in the first half, and they did that again Sunday night against the Colts. But like DJ said, the better team is going to play better for longer. Their stars are going to shine through. The weaknesses of the weaker team are going to be exposed. And I think ultimately Pete Carroll and the Seattle offensive and defensive coordinators were able to make those halftime adjustments to just outmatch and overpower the Colts that second half.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, really. I mean, yes, you know, 46 to 18, a very attractive score if you are a Seahawks fan, but at the same time, the Colts are bad. So, I mean, there's not much to take away from it. Also, there were a couple of defensive touchdowns scored by the Seahawks. You take those 14 points away from the final score, and Seattle wins 32-18. Mm-hmm. Still a pretty handily won football game, but it kind of leads us into this next week, where the Rams are going to take on a really good offense the Seahawks are going to take on a really good offense in the Rams. I don't know what to make of next week's game against the Rams for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a huge game as to who is going to win the division. I think these right now, as in the Rams and the Seahawks, are the two favorites in the NFC West. I got to watch that Rams versus Cowboys game, and Todd Gurley is a man amongst boys right now. He kind of had a down year last year. I know that upset a lot of fantasy owners, but, you know, going forward, their defense is really good too. You got Alec Ogletree in the middle kind of leading the charge there, and they shut down the Dallas Cowboys in the second half, which played dividends into, you know, their offense having success or being able to have that success in the second half.
Yeah, Seth, what do you think about the Rams coming up this week?
Well, Jared Goff looks a lot better this year than he did last year's rookie season already. With the new head coach there, I don't know if that's what's making a difference or it's just that extra experience, but he's very confident right now. They're taking down good teams like the Cowboys. If Seahawks are going to beat him, I think they're going to have to get a lot of pressure on him and rattle him, get him out of his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. The Rams come into the game 3-1. The Seahawks right now sit at 2-2, and like DJ said, it's a big game for the NFC West. You know, we've seen it in the past that the Rams are almost built to beat the Seahawks. The mismatch between the Rams' defensive line and the Seahawks' offensive line has historically given the Seahawks so much trouble, and it could be where this week's game is won or lost. I want both of your opinions. Where is this game going to be won or lost? Is it going to be won, you know, by the Seahawks offense? Is it going to be won by the Rams defense? Is special teams going to play a factor? Where is this game going to be determined?
It's going to be won in the trenches, I think. That O-line is going to have to have at least some push up front. We have to be able to run the ball.
Who's O-line?
Seahawks O-line.
Okay.
They have to be able to move the ball on the ground, or else Russell Wilson's going to be in the pocket 40, 50 times dropping back, and the Rams' pass rush is just too good to let them be running after Russell Wilson that many times.
I couldn't agree more, Seth. You hit the nail right on the head, if you will. Games are won and lost up in the trenches. If you can control the line of scrimmage, you're going to see success. And I don't worry as much about the Seahawks defensive line as I do the Seahawks offensive line.
Without Cliff Averill?
Yes, even without Cliff Averill. I mean, some of the plays Frank Clark made on Sunday were just freakish. But it is going to be won by the Seahawks offensive line, or not won, but that is a huge key into how much that offense is going to be able to see success on Sunday. If we can protect Russell, he's gonna be able to sit in that pocket for longer than he usually would be able to, and make his reads and go through his progressions. So definitely Seahawks offensive line.
I'm gonna go with special teams being overlooked.
Okay, no, that's fair.
You watched the Colts game. Obviously, it was a primetime game on Sunday night, and they showed footage of Blair Walsh at halftime missing field goal after field goal after field goal. I don't know why they did it. To prove a point, it was kind of funny to watch this kicker miss so many kicks in a row during halftime warmups. But I don't know. It's going to be a close football game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Blair Walsh can't come on and finish a drive with a field goal or win the game late when they're down one or two, I mean, that could be crucial. And historically, the Rams have pulled some pretty nifty trick plays on special teams. I think I can remember back to a fake punt pass, I think, that at one point during a game. One time when the Rams were in St. Louis, there was a punt return the Rams pulled off where everyone blocked to the right and the ball mm-hmm. was kicked to the left, and the guy caught the ball on the left side and ran it all out. Do you remember mm-hmm. that one?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Special teams could play a bigger factor, because everyone knows about the mismatch that is the Rams' defensive line versus the Seahawks' offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could come down to special teams.
And Johnny Hecker is one of the most athletic punters in the league. He's from Bothell, Washington.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he went to Oregon State, high school quarterback, actually.
Yeah.
And so, he has a great arm, and the Rams and Seahawks games traditionally have been low scoring.
Right.
And I think that's a great point. If Blair Walsh can, take advantage of his field goals, then that could play a big difference. I know Greg Zuerlein was 7-for-7, got a lot of fantasy points last weekend. So, the Rams have always been a great special teams, and that is going to definitely play a huge role in Sunday's game.
Seth, you got final thoughts on this one?
I do think special teams will be a factor for sure, but if the Seahawks offense isn't driving the ball and getting to the Rams territory, we're just going to be punting every possession anyway.
Good point.
But if you're punting every possession, you're pinning the Rams,
deep
in their own. I mean, punting is crucial. Like, punting's low-key one of my favorite parts of football.
It's like, very strategic, yeah.
I like it a lot. So if the Rams are pinned deep, and that Seahawk defense that's so great gets to just pin their ears back and try and come up with a safety or get the ball back when the Rams are facing it or up against it, that could work out well for the Seahawks as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
How many points do you think it's going to take for
the
Seahawks?
Yeah, let's take predictions. Let's take predictions.
Oh,
Christian,
I hate predictions. You're not
first.
Going first. Oh, I'm going first?
Yes.
I'm going to – where are we at? Are we at Los Angeles this week? Or are we?
Yeah, it's in L.A.
I'm taking the Rams then. I'm not gonna put a score out there, but the Rams are going to win this football game.
Okay. Seth?
I'll say Seahawks 20-19.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Christian, I'm going to go with you. I'm taking the Rams down there. They have momentum right now. I'm going to take the Rams 17-9.
For those of you that didn't listen last week, DJ picked the Seahawks to run away with the NFC West, and he just picked the Rams over the Seahawks in an NFC West contest.
Hey,
calling you out right now.
I said that we're going to win. I didn't say that we're going to run away with it.
All right, we'll go back and listen to it. You can check that out at massmedia.pou.edu. All right, we got to go into the break right now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Mariners baseball. Their season's done. But the speculation towards 2018 has already begun, and we're going to dive in to figuring out how this team is going to get by with the pitchers that they already have and possibly could acquire. So don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but write about them, talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with sports.
Really well.
Thank you. Joining me in studio, you just heard him. He's a member of the POU football team. He's the tight end, and he wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. Also, our new co-host in studio, his name is Seth Bershing. If you want to listen to the show in full form, you can do it mastmedia.pou.edu. Check it out there. If you want to hear short clips of the show while you're driving, Bluetooth it up in the car. That's how I like to do things. You can do it at Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and that's where you can find pretty much everything we've done, either audio on air or we've done a little bit of video projects and some other stuff here, there, and everywhere. If you want to call us and talk a little bit of Seahawks or Mariners or Huskies or this, that, and the other, you can do it 253-535-7332. Again, hit us up 253-535-7332.
Come on, people.
All right, so we get to talk about the Mariners. Woo-hoo! Even though they are done. 2017 is over for them.
Officially, now.
We get to talk about 2018, kind of with an off-season preview maybe, or just kind of discuss what they can do moving forward to kind of end this playoff drought that we're experiencing as people. We don't deserve this, so let's move on. Let's make this team better and get them into the playoffs. Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais have talked a lot about this idea of the Wolfpack mentality when it comes to pitching. The idea is that you can send a guy out there for 3 or 4 innings, maybe once, maybe twice through the opponent's lineup, and then you got to get him out of there and get the next guy in there to eat up some more innings. I think a lot of this stems from the numerical side of baseball, the sabermetric side of baseball, where GMs and managers might not be looking at games in particular, but innings as a whole on the season and how their clubs are going to get through innings. So with guys like Erasmo Ramirez, Marco Gonzalez, Andrew Moore, Ariel Miranda, it kind of makes sense that they only go out there and throw 3, 4, 5 innings. It's a new way of thinking in the game of baseball, and I need both of your thoughts on it. Like, will it work? Does it make sense? Is it worth trying? You guys tell me what you think.
It makes sense if the Mariners pitchers are only going to throw 5 innings an outing anyway. You might as well cut them off at 3 innings or whenever they're through that first time through the lineup and just go to the bullpen, simply because they're going to be less effective the more times that they face the same hitters.
Makes sense. DJ, what do you think about it?
There's positives and negatives to both of these, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Christian. I kind of like the idea. I know DePoto is big into the sabermetrics of baseball, and that's kind of where baseball as a whole is headed to. As I look at the roster right now, James Paxton, Felix Fernandez, Mike Leake, Erasmo Ramirez, Ariel Miranda, Andrew Moore, and Marco Gonzalez. You know, you got a mix of old guys, young guys, and guys who don't know how to stay healthy. If they're only going 5 innings for the old guys, it's going to limit their innings. For the young guys, teams won't be able to get as much film on them, so they won't be able to figure them out as quickly. I think it's something that we could try next year, but I'm in agreement with you. If we're going to try it, you know, you got to stick to that.
Yeah.
The one downfall about that is, you know, it's going to stress your bullpen a little bit with all of those innings.
I don't think it necessarily is going to stress the bullpen. The reason being, I mean, the idea behind it is brought up because historically, almost every pitcher ever is the best that they're going to be one time through the lineup. We saw Marco Gonzalez. I don't think he's ever made it through a lineup three times. Mm-hmm. He gets tore up the third time people get to see him.
Yeah.
So the idea is to cut him off. And, yeah, like you mentioned, DJ, it works if the organization and the field managers are going to stick to it throughout the entire year.
Yes.
I don't think your bullpen needs to... I don't think your bullpen would end up stressed. And the reason being, if a starter goes out there and goes three innings, and then the next guy comes in and goes three innings, all of a sudden we're in the top of the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when bullpens are going to work anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's three innings to get through, you know, three pitchers, five total pitching changes, which you probably, that's probably close to the average of pitching changes you see anyway in a game. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
The one thing that I'm thinking about right now is, what if a guy, the second guy, for example, comes in and is struggling? Like, you might be limited to just sticking with him instead of making that change. Because, you know, with five pitching changes, I know sometimes the quick changes are a guy comes in, faces one batter based on matchups, and then another pitcher comes in and faces the other one, and then maybe we switch again. So, I mean, you only got so many spots on your roster, so...
Yeah, Seth, what do you think about that? Maybe they bring in a guy, or the first guy struggles, doesn't make it out of that first three innings.
Well, like, that's my concern, too, is that somebody's going to have a bad night, and that's going to ruin this rotation where everybody pitches just a couple innings, and it's going to get skewed by people just going into cold streaks and slumps. I think it can work, but they're going to need to get more long-term relievers or more starting pitching.
Well, long-term relievers is all they got.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, between Erasmo, we already mentioned their names, but, you know, I don't see why not, but also I get why you want to run a guy out there for seven straight innings.
Yeah, no.
Like, I get that, but...
Especially if he's on.
But at the same time, the Mariners struggled so much with health, you know, what if you didn't use him less?
I think it would. Like I said, one of the big reasons I am in favor of this is because I think it would reduce innings for the old guys, and, you know, you could prolong the young guys' careers, because not a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are still stuck in the traditional sense where, oh, a pitcher, you got to go out and get me, you know, five or six innings. This would prolong the young guys' career to maybe where you can adopt this system and keep them healthy for longer in your organization.
If we're going to spitball baseball ideas right now, I read a book over the summer. It's called Ahead of the Curve by Brian Kinney. He's on MLB Network very often.
Yes.
A very forward-thinking, kind of proving the old traditional way of baseball, kind of proving it wrong. It's very entertaining. I'll loan it out to you guys if you want it. I loved it. And it talks about how the first inning is the toughest inning to get through on the mound, simply because every offense is set up to perform optimally to begin a game. Because, you know, just
we saw that last night in the wild card game.
Let's look at the Mariners, or in last night in the wild card game, let's look at the Mariners, you know, Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger, Ben Gamble, and then Robinson Cano. I mean, that's a pretty good chance you're going to have somebody in scoring position by the time Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, and Kyle Seager come up.
Yep.
However, if you get through that first inning 1-2-3, do you want Nelson Cruz to lead off an inning? It's not really, because that's not where he hits ever. Mm-hmm. So it only works in that first inning. That being said, who is the toughest pitcher that the Mariners have across the board to face? It's probably Edwin Diaz. So if teams all of a sudden thought, hey, these first three outs could be the most important outs, like you said last night in the wildcard game, they could have been. They didn't end up being, but they could have been. What if teams run their closer out there to start a game?
It's an interesting thought.
What if Edwin Diaz goes bang, bang, bang through the first three batters, and then you bring in James Paxton?
That is a... Wow.
That's interesting. But you do need somebody who's comfortable in those high-pressure situations to close down a one-run game in the ninth inning.
Which three outs are the most important in a baseball game? You don't know.
A case can be made for either the last three or the first three. You know, there's that saying where it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. You know, going down the stretch, that does provide some pretty quick... I mean, some pretty good excitement in like the seventh, eighth, or ninth innings. Those are also, I've also heard people say closing is the hardest position in baseball too, because the outs are so, you know, there's so much pressure behind those, and there's such a high price.
Why? I don't know. I don't agree with that at all, because if you're coming in to close the game, the other team is the one that has to push.
Yeah.
You go out there and throw three strikes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy into the closer's the toughest role. That's me, a half athlete, watching the game, having never done it, going, okay, they're losing, you're winning, just go throw strikes.
Yeah. I mean, those strikes, though, you know, those got to be well placed, because if you got a one-run lead, then, you know, you can't give that up. You have no room for error. And throwing a strike, and especially painting the outside corner, hitting the inside corner, up and away, things like that, you know, that is a very tough job mentally.
We could keep talking about this next week. We got to go to a break, but we can keep talking pitch and strategy next week, or we can talk about what the Mariners should add offensively or defensively, whatever's more important to them coming up in the coming weeks. Right now, we got to take a break, though. When we come back, we'll talk a little PLU sports. PLU had their first football game in a long, long time. We'll talk about that. Also make mention of what else is going on around campus. So don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined in the studio by a member of the PLU football team. His name is DJ Winter.
Yep.
Also joined by our new co-host, still wondering when I'm going to stop saying new. I haven't found out yet. His name is Seth Bershing.
Yep.
If you want to call us, and we'd really like you to call us, you can do that at 253-535-7332. If you are at the PLU football game and you want to talk about it with us, let's do it. 253.
You want to give me a compliment? Sure.
253-535-7332. If you want to listen to this show again later on today, or if you want to listen to any show we've ever done ever, you can do it at mastmedia.plu.edu. And if you don't want to listen to the full show, we get that. You can listen to clips of the show at Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Do that for sure, because it's cool. All right.
Yes, it is. All right. Very cool.
All right. DJ.
We like views.
You finally played a football game last weekend.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What was the final score? What was everything?
Final score was 23-13. Lutes have won 28 of the last 30 against the Loggers. Mm-hmm. So shouts out to the football team. And I know we've dominated in, you know, a lot of different sports across the board against UPS. But, you know, Saturday, it was kind of like the Seahawks, you know. It was kind of the opposite.
Was like the Seahawks, but backwards.
Yes. just a reverse order. We were up 20-7 at half, you know. First half, we were kind of hitting on all cylinders offensively, maybe on a couple drives. I take that back. We weren't hitting on all cylinders, but we only ran a total of 49 plays offensively in the game to their 75. But, you know, like I said with the Seahawks, the better teams are going to play longer, are going to play better longer. There we go. Did I say that right?
I think you did. I think you got it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're a better team than UPS. We played better for longer, and we pulled out the win. It was cool to see our backup kicker, who's from Hawaii. He had like 30 family members there, get like kind of the game-clinching field goal. Our first-string kicker kind of, he went down to make a tackle.
Tell that story. Yeah, Dallin Rodriguez. I put it on my Snapchat yesterday because it was so entertaining. We'll use that word. One of the kickoffs, Dallin Rodriguez, the kicker for PLU, ran down and he had to make a tackle. He stuck his nose in there, but he didn't really stick his nose in there. He kind of made the tackle like with the lower part of his chest, meaning the PLU or the Puget Sound ball carrier put his shoulder into Dallin's like midsection.
Yes. Dallin, you know, he's always been a go-getter when it comes to tackling, which I give him super, like, a lot of credit for. That's a tough job as a kicker, but...
Yeah, kicker saves for the win. Mm-hmm. Dallin, I'm working on a group project. I'm actually presenting that group project later today with Dallin. And he told me that it knocked the wind out of him. Like, he was, you know, trying to breathe, but nothing was coming in. But he popped right back up because he, quote, had to go get his kicking tee. So, I mean, he was feeling it a little bit, but...
Warrior.
Powered through.
He had to go get that kicking tee. Seth, did you get a chance to tune in or listen to or read the results from the POU football game?
I did not get to see it. I heard there was a turnover or two inside the red zone. Was that...
Nice segue. Carson Ketter.
For yes. You guys?
Our man Carson Ketter recovered a fumble pretty much on the goal line. That's where we called it. It seemed... Puget Sound was in this wildcat formation on like the within the 5-yard line, maybe. Yep. something close to that. And direct snap to the guy who ended up running the ball. He took it, and I don't know if anyone punched it out or it just slipped out of his arms, but it took one hop and bounced to the scariest athlete, I think, on the campus of POU, Carson Ketter. The dude is 6'3", jacked to the gills.
About 225.
I mean, just huge, right? And plays safety for the Lutes. Picks the ball up on the goal line and takes it up the right sideline. 100 yards, no one even came close to touching him.
Runs about a 4.340 well.
Just blistered and that down the sideline.
That actually got him on Division3Football.com's team of the week.
Right.
Very cool.
Which was kind of cool. One fun story, I guess, from the game would be I lost my mouthpiece running out after Tabby U picked off the ball on the second play. I run out there, notice my mouthpiece is gone. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't have a mouthpiece. So I play one play without it, and then I run the sideline. I'm
you
like,
cheater.
Hey, I don't have a mouthpiece. And sure enough, one of my fellow wide receivers handed me his mouthpiece.
Teammates.
Yes. And just kind of, you know, dusted it off and then put it in for a series.
That's so gross.
Like a series and a half. So,
gross.
We swapped some fluids, but it but, you know, we made it work, and it was fun. It was fun playing at home. It was fun seeing everybody out there. Had a lot of people come to the game. And you know, our next home game will be a big one against Whitworth, but, you know, can't look forward to that. You got to go 1-0 every week, and this week we got Pacific coming up. So
one more mention, big plays kind of ruled the day for POU. I can't believe you haven't said anything about it yet. The first touchdown at home this year for the Lutes was a 63-yard pass from Cole Chandler to Brady Winter.
Yes.
Didn't even give a shout out. Yeah, little brother scores a big touchdown. He's jealous. Big brother's jealous right now. Seth, you see it?
Yep. It's all right, DJ.
Yeah.
He'll get yours soon.
Yeah. I've gotten one already, but...
Ah, man. So it was a good win for POU over Puget Sound. Again, final score 23-13. So we can bounce around the conference a little bit. We're going to move over to some other POU sports. Men's soccer right now sits third in conference with a record in conference of 3-2-1. So yeah, they're doing good things right now. We can bounce across the way. We'll go over to the women's soccer. They're near the top. I believe they're second. Yes, they are.
They suffered a loss this weekend.
They did. They got their first loss, not of the year, but in conference. They fell to Whitworth.
Mm-hmm.
One stat that I really like for the women's soccer team is they've only allowed 2 goals this entire season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, that's really good. Nice stat, Seth.
They are very good. Both the men's and women's soccer team play at home this week, so come out and check that out on Saturday and Sunday. And we can bounce real quickly over to volleyball when I find it. They're also near the top of the Northwest Conference standings.
I'm pretty sure they're in first right now.
They're tied for first with Pacific and Whitworth with a conference record of 5-1. Volleyball is on the road tonight, actually, at Puget Sound.
Yep.
And then they will host... Maybe George Fox. I wrote the preview last night, and I still don't know. I think it's George Fox on Friday night. So,
By the way, shout out to Eddie Nah. He was Northwest Conference Offensive Player of the Week as well. So, you know, quick shout out to Eddie.
Back to men's soccer. Yeah. So, lots of stuff to partake in this weekend with POU Athletics. We got volleyball at home. We also have both soccers at home. Seth, I'll ask you, of the sports that are at home this weekend, which are you most likely to attend and why?
Well, this weekend, I'm not likely to attend any of them since I will be at work.
But if you had the freedom to go to one of these games.
I'd love to get to at least one football game. I'm a football junkie, but...
But they're not here this week, Seth.
Yeah.
I could see myself going to a volleyball match. I'm not too much of a soccer fan.
Hey, but if you guys want to go and get a blizzard, see Seth at Dairy Queen.
Hey, nice plug.
Thanks, DJ.
Yeah, volleyball is incredibly entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's tough to stat. It's tough to work, but...
Very fast-paced.
Yes, very fast-paced, very entertaining, very loud.
Yes.
Don't enjoy how loud it is at Olsen for volleyball.
Yeah. Speaking of one more thing for the Northwest Conference, I will be... Your boy, DJ Winter, will be taking over the Northwest Conference Instagram.
You know it's going to get sloppy when someone says your boy.
posting stories on their Instagram next week, so go give them a follow if you want to see what life of a D3 athlete is like.
You have it for the whole week?
You know, I'm going to find out more about that on Thursday, but I will post it on my Twitter. Go follow me, DJ Winter 87, or, you know, friend me up on Facebook, and I will post about it then.
Reason I ask is because you need to have it on Wednesday next week.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday would be the best.
You get up early and go to weights and do your whole athlete thing. Yep. And then you go get, and then you come here and do like some cooler stuff.
And also, Wednesday nights are half price app nights for.
Maybe the Snapchat shouldn't go to Applebee's with you football guys.
No. We have a fun time. There's no bad things involved.
Good, just, clean, wholesome fun.
Yeah, just a couple dudes and
being dudes.
Yeah, going to eat some apps and seeing our girl Jamie. Fun time.
I want to hear the legend of Jamie because I've heard Jamie's name before. Never been invited to one of these half price app nights, but I've heard of Jamie before.
You can come tonight if you want.
I'm busy.
Wow. Just extended the invitation.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
What is the legend of Jamie? Is Jamie the server that's at Applebee's?
Yeah, so we started this tradition about, I want to say like 2.5 years ago. We just kind of went, and Jamie was the first server that had our group. And we kept going back and back and back, and she, you know, she's came to a couple football games.
Wow.
And last year the seniors got her you know, a couple gift cards, some flowers. She really takes care of us, and every time we go in there on Wednesday night, they know we're coming and they have a table set up for us already. We usually have a group of around 15 to 20 dudes. And she is always just, we're kind of the bright spot in her week. She is always happy to see us. And she's, you know, shouts out to her because she brightens up our week as well.
Seth, when I asked that question, I didn't think the legend of Jamie the server would be that extravagant to the point of where, like, they're getting her gifts at the end of the year. Like, good on you guys. Well done.
Yeah.
Wait, that's way better than a tip. I'll take a gift.
Oh, yeah. Dope. Oh, we tip her well, too.
All right, we're going to go into a break real quick. When we come back, it'll be time to talk about the University of Washington Huskies football program. They're rolling right now, but Chris Peterson has problems with these late starts. The next 2 weeks, they play games at 7:45 p.m. We'll talk about if it's detrimental to the program as a whole, what it's costing them, if it's costing them anything. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. His name is DJ Winter, tight end for the POU football program. And our new co-host, half athlete like myself, we're taking over, DJ. Can't stop us. His name is Seth Bershing. If you want to call us, we got about 10 minutes left in today's show. You can do that. 253-535-7332. Again, please call us. 253-535-7332. We'll talk about anything you want. If you want to hear the show in full form, you can do it on mastermedia.pou.edu. Check it out there. And if you want to hear clips of the show, you can do it at YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Check us out. All right, let's jump into it. Chris Peterson, normally a pretty quiet guy. He's the head coach of the University of Washington football program. Normally a pretty quiet guy when it comes to the media. This week, he voiced his displeasure about having to play games that start at 7:45 p.m. West Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
So I need both your thoughts about his comments and if they are valid, if they are invalid. What do you make of his comments?
All right, let me tell you about the biggest problem in college football.
Oh, look at the college football player breaking down with an all right. I can't wait to hear this one. It's going to be so good. Go for it, DJ.
At least at Division I. The West Coast does not get enough love.
Okay.
And part of the problem is these late games, especially with you really only have one Power 5 conference on the West Coast, and that is the Pac-12. Peterson said in his press conference on Monday, "I just want to say something to our fans. We apologize for these late games. We want to play at 1 p.m. It hurts us tremendously in terms of national exposure. No one wants to watch our games on the East Coast that late, and we all know it. We haven't had a kickoff before 5 p.m. this season." So that's a problem within itself. You haven't had a kickoff before 5 p.m. all season. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. And we all know that that's where a lot of the voters are from. And so a lot goes into this. UW is outscoring their opponents right now this year, 220-54. So granted, you know, the knock on them, they haven't played a strong schedule, but dang it, they've beat the teams 220-54. You know, a team is taking care of their business when they need to, and they have moved down in the rankings once. They've been right around that 6th and 7th ranking, and Georgia just this week jumped them. They did beat a really good team in Auburn, you know, but that shouldn't matter. A team is taking care of their business, and they are not getting the exposure that they deserve, and it is hurting the Pac-12 in general.
There are four teams inside the top 20 from the Pac-12, and they're not getting enough love. Seth, what do you think about the late night comments?
I absolutely agree with you, DJ. Wow. Yeah, I know I'm being lame, but
Thank you, Seth.
It's hard for me to feel any differently when you have a team that was good enough to be in the college football playoff last year, and they're not getting any primetime games at all. They're playing at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Nobody on that half of the country is going to be up to watch the Huskies play when they're one of the best teams in the nation. They should be getting national exposure.
They haven't given anybody a reason to not put them within that playoff conversation. And they were one of Alabama's best teams that they played last year in closest games. Christian,
you know why they're not on primetime? Because no one wants to watch the University of Washington beat down on Rutgers, beat down on Montana or Montana State, whichever Montana school they played, beat down on Colorado. Like, those aren't games worth watching. You know who was on primetime? WSU and USC on Friday night, and it was a great football game.
But the Alabama games are always televised. Doesn't matter if they're playing Clemson or if they're playing Alabama State.
And they just beat Vanderbilt 59-0. How fun of a game is that to watch, you know? And, you know, I'm fine with these Thursday and Friday night games because there are no other games to watch, so you're going to get exposure through that. So, you know, it really bugs me on a Saturday night that you're playing at 7:45, which is like almost pretty much 11 o'clock Eastern, like you said, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts the Huskies. You got guys like Miles Gaskin, who's averaging 7.09 yards per carry. That's almost a first down every time you run. And Jake Browning, you know, he had some Heisman conversation early on. He's thrown 12 touchdowns and only 3 picks. So these guys are worth noting and getting exposure. A guy from UW isn't going to win the Heisman or have a chance if he's playing at a time that late, to where you're excluding like half the voters from the East Coast.
And to Christian's point, I think it will help if they schedule some better teams in that
yes,
non-conference.
There's no doubt about that.
But they can't do anything about the 9 games in conference that they're playing every year. Those mm-hmm. are going to be West Coast games, mm-hmm. no matter who you're playing.
Yes. Did we mention the recruiting aspect that Chris Peterson also mentioned about how it's hurting his chances of landing a kid from Texas or a kid from Georgia or something like that? Have you touched that point yet?
No, we haven't touched
because
that
it's point. False, and that's I don't think it's a real thing. The way that people in general view sports is so much different now than it is than it has been in the past. That just because they play a late game doesn't mean that they're not seeing University of Washington highlights on Instagram or something like that. Like it's so much different, and especially like put it in our perspective, a job hunt. Like if we have an interview set up with someone, we're gonna put all we can into knowing as much as we can about those people before mm-hmm. we go do that interview.
I think it doesn't hurt recruiting as it does national exposure.
Mm. He made that claim, though.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was hurting him there, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think it is either. That's why I wanted to touch on the Pac-12 as a whole and just national exposure. Because, like I said, you could have guys like Miles Gaskin and Jake Browning maybe getting more Heisman talk than they are now.
I don't know. I'm not bought in. I don't think they played good enough games to be nationally exposed. But I also think, you know, I think it works enough to get them exposure by the general audience. I mean, people who are into football are really into football. I mean, on the East Coast, you know, if you're having a nice little Saturday fun day, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. you'll probably stay up late and see what's going on with UW and whoever they're playing that night, right?
Yeah, you could try staying up late, but you might take a nap between the second and third quarter.
That is
because you're too dang tired to stay up.
Great point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we gotta wrap this thing up here. We're about at our time. Want you to tune in to Laser all week long. We got great sports content. We got HNC Sports on Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. That's Heina Alou and Carson Barnett. They're bringing it. They talk a lot of football. So if you're into football, it'll really get you ready for the weekend's football festivities. Also, you can talk. You can tune in to What's the Big Deal with Dylan Foreman, Sarah Cornell Meyer, and Zach Goff. They're working on their sports show every single week. Zach Goff, a freshman. Going to tease him a little bit right now. He loves the Sounders. He talks about the Sounders so much. But in last week's segment, he forgot to tell us what the score was, which was an unfortunate, very vital, crucial piece of information towards all sporting events.
Like what you always say, you got to give the stats and the scores.
What's the final score? He gave a whole spiel on the Sounders and the game they played against Real Salt Madrid or whatever team they played. And I didn't know what the score was, so... Zach learned from his mistake. He's going to do so much better this week. So you have to tune in at 2 p.m. on Friday to What's the Big Deal on Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to go ahead and get out of here for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing. My name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.